First of all, I thank God for Dr. Paul invite me to bring God's word to you, and I'm most delighted to do it. So without delay, title today, The Twofold Purpose, A Christian Life, Salt and Light. It is intriguing to examine why our Lord uses the word salt and light to classify the purpose of His disciples' life on earth, and why it is essential for every individual Christian to have these two fundamental elements in their life. Both are unique in the matter approach of their respective function. So may God help us as we examine His divine word and see how we can extract spiritual lesson for learning and application. On the first point, the purpose of salt in a Christian life. Now Jesus, having declared the Beatitudes in the Sermon of the Mount, he moved on to teach disciples the significance of the illustrations for a Christian to be salt and light in this world. And this wonderful principle of being salt and light cannot be lost or worthless in a believer's life, but it should be preserved and be seasoned to be used. Now, to refresh you, which I trust many of you have read these passages many times. Now, have you failed to recognize these precious elements in your life? Sadly, and in reality, this is something that many professing Christians do not really perceive, neither do they take it seriously in their life, that they have these two powerful ingredients. And to those who fail to recognize this or underestimate the powerful of these ingredients, now my prayer is that you will be enlightened to Jesus' saying of these verses today. Now there are two aspects that we can describe salt for believers. First of it, the purpose of salt is to prevent believers from being contaminated. Look at verse 13 of chapter 5, Matthew. Ye are the salt of the earth. Now today's salt is worth a few cents, or at most a dollar for a normal packet, but not in Jesus' time. First, let us observe the usefulness of salt and its imperative command in other biblical passages. And I will also give you an account of ancient period where salt was mentioned. I'm doing this because such insight will enlighten us to have a better understanding on why salt was crucial in those days and why Jesus uses the word salt and light. Now the purpose of salt is drawn back to the historical period of the Old Testament, which is taken from Leviticus. Perhaps you want to turn to Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13. Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13. If you're there, I'll just read to you. Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13. And every oblation of thy meat offering shall thou season with salt, neither shall thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thy offering, thou shalt offer salt. Now, do you notice the severity that Jehovah has commanded them to use saltly fully and not applying a little to the meat to save cost? Look, take note of it. With all thy offerings, thou shalt offer salt. Not only certain meat, but every animal's meat offering was to be accompanied by salt. Now, salt was the one representation symbol which was never absent from the altar of burnt offering. And they were not allowed to dilute the salt or lessen it, but to properly season it. This was done so to preserve the meat from being rotten or of petrels, and it would be acceptable and a sweet sacrifice and pleasing to God. And similar statement can be found also in Ezekiel. I'll just read to you. Ezekiel chapter 43 verse 24. And thou shalt offer them before the Lord, and the priest shall cast salt upon them. And they shall offer them up for burnt offering unto the Lord. And so was the value of salt in the ancient period. The value of salt cannot be underestimated even in ancient period. Now salt has numerous ways of applying that it is worth a high value in price in those days. Because there were no refrigerator in early epoch. And one of the best ways to preserve the meat from rotten was to add salt onto the meat. And amazingly, it can be preserved for a long period of time, which I believe many of you have studied. And we must also take note of it. Salt was also to be kept properly in a proper place that you'll be effective when it was used. In fact, salt was so valuable that the Romans sometimes paid their soldiers with it. Can do a research on this. And even such remark was also mentioned in those days when a soldier did not carry out his duty. Others would say, he is not salt. He's not worthy of his salt. And even today, though not commonly in local, but in many other countries, when one wish to say to somebody or that someone that is good or sincere characteristic, he will say he is the salt of the earth. So the salt metaphor carries a general idea of an important, valuable ingredient that a Christian must have. So now I trust that all of you do comprehend the preciousness of salt. And he's saying in the early eras. Now we want to turn our attention to Jesus' words. Jesus' statement to the believers was that they have salt in their lives. Be discerning, my friends. Notice that Jesus did not say that a believer can attain to it, or by endeavoring it, or having the potential to be one, but simply declaring to them that ye are the salt of the earth. Now this carries the idea that everyone who has trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation and is born again is the salt of the earth and light of the world. And this vitality of salt is to stop sin from entering their lives and allow it to decimate them. And if you take note of the word, the phrase, ye are the salt of the earth, it is in the imperative mood which demand absolute obedience and application from all of us. There is no exception to it, but every individual professed Christian must have it and they must apply it. And the preservation of good quality salt, which is the word of God, basically, will help and preserve Christians from being penetrated by various heinous activity that will try to tempt us, try to influence us, that we may be contaminated and sin against God. So believers must take note of this. We cannot defer our saltiness or principle from time to time only, but in every single possible time, we are they are to obligated to carry the word of God with them. In every account in our life, we take order from the Bible. And in fact, today, believers are ever faced with many enormous obstacles and temptation they will try to surround us. The devil is anxiously and eagerly waiting for us, that we may succumb to it. And this is facts, we cannot avoid it, for we are living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. This is taken from Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. You can go back and read on your own. Paul told the brethren in Philippi, they were godly Christians, they were zealous for God's word, and even their works were pleasing to God. And yet Paul told them, you cannot avoid, you will have to face it. And even Jesus pre-warned them in John 16 verse 33, this thing I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And the only way to win and conquer this battle is to look unto Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2. That is the salt we are talking about. You have the word of God, and that is salt, and that salt must be kept pure. That means you do not compromise or let others entice you or influence you. You keep your salt purely and you take your orders from God alone. And rest assured, the Bible make it very clear to every believer who trusts in Him, who reads His Bible, who pray to God for help, that nobody will be able to lure you or entice you to sin against God. A piety and a purity life towards God is a must for all of us. We are not perfect, but that does not give us a reason to murmur that we cannot live a life whereby we believe in Jesus and claiming to be the branches of the vine, and yet working in the opposite direction, contradict to our standard before God. Correct. We place our trust in Jesus. We say we have great faith in Jesus. Even in John 15 verse 5, the Bible makes it very clear, those who believe in Jesus, we are His branches. And how is it possible if you do not have this very important ingredient in your life? The salt we have is the word of God. We cannot exchange this salt to other things which we think that is very important or precious. There's nothing precious except God's word in our life. And the salt that we have must be used. There's a second point that I'm going through, the sub-point. The purpose of salt is to influence others. Of course, the first purpose of salt, that our life cannot be contaminated by sin. That salt is to keep you pure and holy before God. And the second of it is the purpose of salt is to influence others. The salt we have is to be applied. Don't be like the salt in Dead Sea. Dr. Paul and team went to Israel. I believe some of you have been there before. As you know, Dead Sea, nothing survived in Dead Sea, do you know? You go in there, you will float. but nothing else survived. Too rich, too much of salt, okay, does not benefit anything over there. We need the water. It kills everything that comes into contact of that salt. So you have the salt within you. Use it. Apply it. Don't keep it here. Many Christians have good knowledge of the Bible. Some of them have read the Bible 50 times. Some of them have better knowledge of the Bible verses than me. But what is the point if you don't apply it? So the Lord said we have salt in our life, right? So do you apply it within yourself? Do you use it to influence others? Let me tell you, believers are the only salt in this world ever known. Trust me. And as mentioned by the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2 verse 15, the earth is like a carcass, slowly but stubbornly deteriorating. And we are there to apply it. And that salt is to be used to other believers, to influence them, to encourage them. Not thinking about self, yourself. We are that salt, and that salt have to what? Reach out to others. You have the word of God, you encourage. When you see someone who is down and out, you have to encourage, because the world will deteriorate and you become worse than ever before. And many Christians will be influenced by the world. They will be captured by the world. One way or the other, they will be influenced how the world runs the show or function. Right? You go out, you face what? Temptation. You go to work, you face temptation. In school, you face temptation. Every second, every corner, the Bible says the devil is waiting, ever ready to pounce on you. So if you do not have the word of God, which is salt, one of the most important ingredients in your life, then what are you? God's word is good. The Lord means everything good for us. When he say when he uses the illustration of salt, we must understand why is it so valuable of this salt. In those days, salt is very costly and precious, which I've told you early on. We are that salt. We are precious before the Lord's sight. And he said, you have the salt. He wants to use you, the advancements of his kingdom. Will you allow him to use you to influence others? Even though salt is a small and yet hardly noticeable, it makes a great difference when applied to the substance. And substance mixed with salt will have its saltiness taken effect instantly. Agree? It is the Lord that worked through you. You are nobody before God. Nobody before the rest of the world. But somebody before God when you allow him to use. But first of all, you have to maintain that salt. Keep it pure. Then you'll be able to use it to influence others. Salt is something that is very small, fine grain. When it applies it, it can reach a very far distance. Correct. You add a bit of salt, the whole water, plain water, will take effect straight away. And it will taste salty when it's drank. Never underestimate God's power in your life. And one good example that we can use for seasoning is taken from Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Maybe should just turn there. Right. Take a sip. Colossians chapter 4, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that he may know how he ought to answer every man. Your speech and talk must be applied to the profit of the hearers. As I say, your testimony plays an important role as salt. Your example should be Christ-like as salt to influence others. Our duty as salt is to touch the life of other Christians. So we want to ask ourselves again this question. Do you have this salt within you? If you have you applied it? Have you used it to reach out to others, encourage them? And even in Luke 13, or Matthew, okay, I'll just read to you Matthew 5:13, the second phrase of it. But if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is then forth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. And even in Luke 14, verse 34, Jesus also called our attention. He that hears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus basically was telling them that they were to pay attention, special attention, and listen carefully, that they won't be misdirected or lose their focus and aim in life. Because if they lose their focus and their salt is not salty, then it will not benefit anybody and even himself too. Correct, verse 13b. But if the salt have lost the savour, wherewith shall it be salted? And Luke added, it is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but meant cast it out. So if the salt is not properly kept in your life, its saltiness can be lost because it is exposed to impurities. And it's not even worth to be put on the dunghill. So how can he proceed to influence others? In fact, he will be a bad example to others. And that means he brings great shame upon himself. And his works and words will have no effect or weight in life. People will mock him, people will challenge him as an hypocrite. As you know, a hypocrite is an actor. False front. He puts a false front to let others see. The moment he takes out his cover, you see his true color. And that will bring great shame to others and even before his Lord. So what kind of salt you have? Salt that is impure, it will be a shame for Christian to lose the saltiness, because our Lord said it is not fit for the dunghill. Can you imagine that? That is bad enough coming from our Lord's mouth. We are God's children. We are peculiar people, do you know? something that God have given us. That speciality is not given to the rest of the world, but those He have called into His kingdom. You have to ask yourself, what kind of life are you dwelling in? The life of the world that allow you to compromise God's word and bring impurities in your life, or standing firm before God's word? As I say early on, the world will influence you with money, pleasure. Those young people, like my lecturer, Reverend Quek, have said this: woman, the devil know how to tempt you. If young people like old woman, the devil will bring old lady to you to tempt you. I'm saying this with great passion, actually, because I've seen many, they've fallen before the Lord. Many great heroes have also fallen. Those that are respected have also fallen. Why? There are impurities within their life. They waver in their spirit. They compromise God's word. They have forgotten the very beginning stage which they were fervently serving the Lord. That salt within them have worn out, exposed to sun, that cause impurities. And also know that many believers love to utter words like, I have faith, I have that salt, but there's no action within him. Salt also needed to be applied. Why? The proudness that we have, arrogant pride, will take control within you. And we need this salt to cleanse all those things. The second point, the purpose of light. Christians are called to be light giver. Please do take note that every Christian on earth is duty bound to share the gospel. And of course, this goes hand in hand with good works. Okay, there will be some overlapping. Please bear with me. Now, Jesus uses the word light for believers because light has an important role for a human being in this world. Without light, many things will not be able to survive. And worse still, without light, the world definitely will be in chaos. True? There will be killing, robbing, stealing, raping, and many other heinous activities will take place. And we also know, maybe some of you don't know, but let's explain to you. Light is a form of energy produced by many chemical reactions. Can do a research on your own. The sun and the stars produce huge amounts of heat and light through fusion, and are the source of most visible light in the universe. It was taken on a website. However, it will never last forever, and so for stars. Do you know? Stars with enormous amount of heat, of energy, does give way. An explosion will take place. This is facts. And after it takes place, of the explosion, you become dark and you die and you stay there. And as many of us also knew about this, the light that we have, the bulb light, it lighted a house brightly. Down here, you see, it's bright. And it must be connected to power supply, of course, through wiring. So what I'm trying to tell you is that so is the life of a Christian. We can be a dynamic Christian because we have a greater power of energy, resources to be connected from. And we do not need to seek any other connection or other resources, but only Jesus. The energy that we draw from will never ever has power failure. The sun will come to an end one day. The stars will die. The light will give way. We need to change. But the light that we draw from our Savior, will never give way. That is what I'm trying to stress. Please turn to John chapter 8, verse 12. This is what Jesus said. Let's read to you, John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus said again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And this light goes for eternity. Okay? This light will go for eternity. For Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, stated in Hebrews 13, verse 8. So the light that we draw from will go forever. We will die. The light will continue to go on for eternity. And we must understand, a true light that is vibrant will be powerful in a far distance. That's what Jesus said. And it cannot be avoided by people. We have this light. Don't underestimate this light, like salt. This light is powerful because we draw our sources, our resources from Jesus alone. Our works, our testimony will have impact to others. Others will be curious and they will come and they will want to know what kind of light we have. As Jesus mentioned, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. If you look in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Now, commentators believe that this city was Jerusalem that Jesus was referring, because this Jerusalem was set on a very high hill, which was about 2,500 feet. That's very high, above sea level. And from a far distance, a person is able to see that city. So what Jesus was trying to say, that our life is like that city. We are lighted for everybody to see. And we must understand, as believers of the gospel light, we are set forth before the whole world to examine us, whether you like it or not. Whether we are that true light within us. That is why at the very beginning stage, Jesus said, you are the salt. You must maintain this saltiness. You have to be pure, because people will try you and test you whether you are the true source of the gospel. And we are entrenched in Christ as Christian. You must understand that. We declare to the whole world who we believe and who we worship. And one more thing, please be mindful. We are Christians. Do you understand the meaning of Christians? Literally means little Christ. So we take order from who? From the big Christ. That is Jesus. We do not wander away. Take order from other sources. Because we are called Christians. Why? Because we obey our Lord's command. And the Lord said, we cannot hide our identity as Christian. Right? You do not take a candlestick and put under the bushel. A bushel means a bucket. We cannot shy away from the gospel. People will come, people will test you, people will persecute you. That doesn't mean you should avoid persecution, because the Lord gives you strength to go through persecution. And we must understand light has only one purpose for existence. That is to dispel darkness, you know. I like to read this verse from Paul. Apostle Paul stated in 2 Corinthians 4:6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." This was the reason why the Apostle Paul and his fellow brethren did not preach themselves but Christ alone. Their minds have been so illuminated by this great light that shines in their hearts, which we have just read, or I've just read to you, 2 Corinthians 4:6. "Wherefore they give themselves to the work of the gospel, that others might be saved." Why? Why do they have this strength to go on? Because God, who commanded the light to shine them out of darkness. When a person is touched by God truly and came out from darkness, he will obey his Lord's commandment. Have we truly shared the gospel to others? Have we emulated the footsteps of the apostles and the rest of them? Please take note how capable they were in those days. They did not have money. They were not educated except for Paul. They were not rich. They were considered as rough people. They wore sandals only. They held no status. The Jewish people could not care about them at all. But let me tell you, that light within them turns the whole world upside down by their simple declaration of the gospel. And today, there are so many Christians. Verse 15 urge all Christians that we should continue to go ahead to share the gospel. We cannot be embarrassed or avoid ourselves hiding in darkness when we know the truth. We have the gospel in our hand. Why we want to shy away? The gospel of God is not for you to keep. It should be light out to everybody. If the disciples were to hide for a purpose, fearing persecution or other circumstances, then the gospel would not be effective or advance further. This statement from the Apostle Paul should truly encourage all of us. We should take heed and be proud to light out everybody who come into our path. Take every opportunity we have to share. Don't worry about persecution. Let the Lord handle. It is for the Lord to handle our life. What the Lord demands us is that you have light. Your light is to shine out to everybody, enlighten them to the true Savior. I have a testimony of a brother. He used to be a person that is very daring, a very rough person, could not care, don't respect anybody. So he became a Christian. We went for evangelism, our church. So I was with him. He knocked on the door. So the person opened the door, he was frightened. He said, "Can I share the gospel?" The person said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Oh, sorry." He turned around and walked. Please take note, this person was a gangster once upon a time. I don't understand why he shy away. So I disturbed him. Last time he used to take knife. And now a person is just talking to you. He becomes so frightened. Why? You feel embarrassed. Romans 1:16 will help us. Romans 1:16 will help us. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? We should not be ashamed. For it is the power. It is not about yourself. How intellectual or how wise or how knowledgeable are you are in the scripture. It does not work how eloquent, you know, you carry yourself. It does not work in the Christian life. Because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. To the Jewish first and also to the Greek. It is God that worked through your life. Have you seen how the ISIS beheaded so many Christians? Of course, some of them maybe they were caught, could not flee. But some of them, they were caught and they did not denounce their faith. Do you know? It's a lot posted in YouTube and other websites. We are living in a comfort zone. When we are tried, we quickly turn backwards and walk away. We have no problem compromising the word of God. But that don't offend me. You can offend God's word. The Bible said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Jesus Christ summarized everything in chapter 5, that the whole purpose for the disciple and the people was what? To glorify God in heaven. I hope this will really give us a good understanding of what Jesus was saying to them. The whole purpose of a Christian life, to perform good works and to be obedient of His calling, to keep themselves holy before God and pure, the whole reason is what? To glorify God. That His word stand what? Firmly rooted deeply in you. All of us has work to do on earth. Now, not all works are good works. Because Jesus here mentioned what? Not any kind of works. Good works. What kind of good works? Because one of it can share to you, bear good fruits. Correct. The fruit of the Spirit, of course, you know. There's so many of it. Gentle, joy. That is called good works because why? You aim towards it. You press the mark and go towards all these good works, good fruits. And you have to work for it. Why? You need to have joy. That is work in your life. You need to do it. You need to have patience. That is works. Someone irritates you, you endure. You have patience. It is not easy. Good works have a lot stated in the Bible. And remember, good works is done through Christ. Correct? It is stated we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We are saved by grace, what? Unto good works. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work, which God had before foreordained that we should walk in them. Galatians chapter 2, verse 10. So we are created in Christ, because Christ has redeemed us with high price, elected us and bring us into His kingdom, and asked us to obey and do those works. And that work is for one purpose, to glorify God. Others will see your good works, and they will glorify God, and they will maybe save if God has called them to His kingdom. I give one testimony, which I hope it will really encourage us. A person that maintained his saltiness and performed a good work before the pagan nation. I believe you have read through the book of Daniel a few times, or some of you have read through. Daniel did not compromise. He kept himself pure. In the very beginning of Daniel chapter 1, he purposed in his heart not to defile the meat. Correct? And from then on, he worshipped God, persecuted, thrown into a dungeon. Of course, you know, thrown into the den of lions. He was kept protected by God. And this person, because of his testimony and his good works, a pagan king extolled God's name. I can read to you Daniel chapter 4, verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, which is our Jehovah, all whose works are true, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride is able to abase. Those who boast about themselves, the Lord is able to make them lowly. Of course, at the beginning, he boasted about himself. That's chapter 4 of Daniel, verse 30. Before God's presence, the king spake, of course, Nebuchadnezzar said this: Is not this great Babylon that I built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? So he boasts about himself. Of course, after this saying, God strike him and make him an animal. Of course, he repented. But all this, what has to do with Daniel? Though God is in control, but God uses man to accomplish his purpose. But that person must be usable by God to accomplish. If you're not willing to allow God to come into life and mold you and shape you for his usage, then how can he use you? A good work performed by us can be achieved as we look to Christ for help. All good works have one purpose: to glorify God. We cannot and don't ever dare to snatch God's glory for our own benefit. The good works they've been doing, covering these things, playing piano, shifting the chair, everything with regard to God's ministry, the glory must be given to God. Don't boast how good you are, or without you, the church cannot survive. Never do that. In Gethsemane, we also have one hymn, and we have to teach them many times. There'll be a lot of competition going on. And we can see, of course, as a preacher, I can see. What you say and your actions and your deed, the glory must be given to God. no hidden agenda or any motive showing to others that I'm better than you. God will punish you. Jesus has saved you. Cleanse you by His precious blood. Give you a place in heaven. A place that you will enjoy eternity. A place that you won't cry, you won't suffer. A place that will be full of smile within you. Is that not enough? The one should take His glory on earth too. Think about it. I hope today you truly understand the meaning of being salt and light. Salt is for you to keep the word of God within yourself. You cannot compromise. Do not be contaminated by the world outside. A little even lighter everything, you know. Use a salt to help others. And the light, do not shy away to share the gospel. If you have to go to prison, go to prison. Scary, right? We're living in a comfort zone. Somebody said, I want to be a missionary. Anywhere God asks me to go, I go. True? Go to Syria. Difficult. Straight away you say, God didn't ask me to go there. God asked me to go to London. Wow. Familiar? God asked me to go to Europe. Indonesia, cannot. Why? Persecution. Correct. I was there for 6 months serving. Scary, very scary. Once they know you are Christian, they'll behead you. Which happened 1998 when Suharto, you know, collapsed. They start beheading. You all know not? A lot of raping going on. 1999 I was there to serve 6 months. Scary, very scary. But who helps me? God. Don't worry about the rest of the thing. You cannot see ahead of time. But what you can see is God's hand in you. God saved you, and God said, I will not forsake you. In 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your care, throw everything to God, for He cares for you.